Our reading for today is from the Gospel of St. Luke, the 23rd chapter, verses 26 to 56. And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by, watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man called Joseph from the Jewish town of Arimathea. He was a member of the council, as a good and righteous man who had not consented to their decision and action. He was looking for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down and wrapped it in a linen shroud and laid him in a tomb cut in stone where no one had ever yet been laid. It was the day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For today's meditation on God's Word, we welcome Pastor Matthew Anderson, Trinity Lutheran Church, Ottumwa, Iowa.
In the name of Christ, dear disciples of Jesus, today's reading is a very long one, and it takes us to the heart of the Christian faith, the crucifixion of Jesus. And it was sort of a dilemma today about which part of this text to talk about the cross itself, which is the heart of our faith, or perhaps to look a few verses earlier in the text and deal with some verses that are pretty difficult and sometimes not dealt with. I thought I'd take a look at the earlier verses, not just to be different, but because as I read through this text, it began to hit me that these verses show us the reason for the crucifixion. Jesus tells the women following him to the cross, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.'" We think of God as an angry God sometimes, as a wrathful God who has made rules that when we break, he is angry at us and punishes us for breaking them. And he is an angry God. He's angry at sin. But he's angry at sin because of the damage that it does to the people he created and loves. You know, sin takes even the first blessing of God, the blessing to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. When he makes them one flesh and says, "Be fruitful and multiply," this wonderful blessing of husband and wife and children, and it takes that blessing and it turns it into pain. It turns that blessing into pain because of the distress that it causes each of us as we watch those whom we love suffer the hurts of this world. As a parent, I can more easily bear pain myself than watch my child suffer. How many times have we wanted to take our child's suffering upon ourselves and hurt for them so that they could be comforted? The effects of this world bring pain to those we love, and we weep, and we are helpless to take that pain away. God weeps with us. He sees the rebellion of this world, the pain that causes each one of us as we hurt ourselves and one another. But unlike us, God is not helpless. He sends Jesus Christ. "Weep not for me," Jesus says. What an odd thing to say. His back is still raw from the scourging of the lash. He's weak from loss of blood. His head still bleeds from the thorn of crowns. And he walks to the place where he will be nailed to the cross and die. And yet he says, "Weep not for me." Weep not for him. He goes to fulfill his Father's will. He goes to that cross to do what we cannot, to bear the suffering of his children, of his loved ones, to win for us the victory over sin, to take our place in the anger of God, to bear God's wrath for us. He goes to give himself in our place. You know, I'm often asked why Good Friday is called good when it's the day that Jesus died. Well, we call it good because it is the day that Jesus died. Because that's the day that he brought us forgiveness for sins. That is the day he fulfilled God's will. That is the day that he overcame sin and guilt and death. And that is the day that he brought hope. He brought hope in the resurrection to come. He brought hope in eternal life. And he brought us the message that that eternal life will be a life in which parents no longer weep for their children. A life in which we can rejoice in the blessings of God unadulterated by sin. A life in which pain and mourning and crying are gone and weeping itself is no more. And that's why we gather each Sunday. We gather to journey to that same cross, to be told once again of that same Savior, to hear his forgiveness of sins, to receive his body and blood, to remember him who wept for our sin and our sorrow, and who, out of compassion for his lost sheep, gave his life to win our life. And therefore we gather not to weep for him, but to give thanks for the salvation he has won, and to proclaim the great good news of forgiveness of sins for all who believe. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank Pastor Matthew Anderson for today's meditation on God's Word.